الإمام أبو عبد الله جعفر بن محمد الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام. Before I begin, I'd like to welcome many new faces and new friends. One of them is Daniel, who lives in Sweden, and he's studying about Islam. And who knows, maybe soon he's going to join the club. Yeah, he's going to stand here and say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. And then we have George also. Daniel, can you stand? This is Daniel. They are bribing you, Daniel. And this is George. Can you stand, George, also? George also is studying about Islam, and hopefully he would join the club soon, inshallah. And we have Noah. Can you stand, Noah? He came today, give him a hand, also to learn about Islam here. And where is Muhammad? Brother Muhammad, we have a new friend called Muhammad. Muhammad, where are you from? Half Chinese, half Lebanese. Good combination. I like this combination. Because I like sushi and shawarma, so both. Yeah. He's Muslim. His name is Muhammad. Yeah.
No, I was born and raised Muslim.
Yeah, born and raised. So your mother is Chinese?
Yeah.
And she was Muslim at the time of your birth? She was?
Yeah, she converted.
Okay. Which mosque you go to, Muhammad?
I'm from L.A.
L.A.
I went to the Masjid Jibril.
Okay, I know that mosque. Thank you. And then we give condolences to the family of Muhammad Haqqi, to his son, and to his relatives who lost their father today, and he was buried. Also, we lost the three members of our community. Yesterday, we buried Sister Hajja Hijran Istrabadi, the khala, the aunt of Haj Sha'lan Istrabadi. We buried her in Newport Beach yesterday. And also today we lost a friend in New Jersey, Marhum Karbalai Ghulam Sakhi. He died today. And also today a young lady, only 17 years old, she died in Anaheim. She's going to be buried tomorrow in Westminster. So I asked you to join me in reciting for all those four people that we lost. Please, for the comfort of their soul, join me in reciting Surah Al-Fatiha ma'a salawat. May God bless their soul, and may He rest them in with Him in paradise. We have a new member who joined the community. Our student, Sister Tahira Ali, she is a student at Ahlul Bayt Islamic Seminary here, and she comes to the Friday prayers and Thursday night with her husband. She gave birth 3 days ago to a baby boy called Mahdi. So we say salawat for her. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. On the 25th day of the month of Shawwal, we have an important anniversary, important event in the history of Islam, and that is the martyrdom of the sixth Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt. His name is Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. He has many titles. One of them is Imam al-Fuqaha. He is the Imam, the mentor, the teacher of all the jurists. All the jurists in the Sunni tradition, they studied under Imam al-Sadiq. The first Imam who was his student was Imam Abu Hanifa and Nu'man ibn Thabit, the leader of the Hanafi tradition. He was the student of Imam al-Sadiq in the city of Medina. The second Imam who studied under Imam al-Sadiq was Imam Malik ibn Anas, the Imam of the Maliki tradition. Maliki tradition is mostly in North Africa and Egypt and other parts of the Muslim world. So those were the direct students of Imam al-Sadiq. The other Imams, Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Imam al-Shafi'i, they were the indirect students of Imam al-Sadiq, because they were the students of Abu Hanifa and Imam Malik. So they were the indirect students of Imam al-Sadiq. All the four madahib Sunni traditions, their leaders and their founders, they were the disciples and the students of this Imam, the sixth Imam, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam al-Sadiq was born almost 70 years after the death of the Prophet. The Prophet died in year 11. Imam al-Sadiq was born in 83 Hijri, almost 72 years. But his grandfather, the Prophet, was the one who named him, who gave him the title of As-Sadiq, the honest, the trustworthy. He said, a son is going to be born. That son, his father is Muhammad al-Baqir, his father is Ali ibn al-Husayn, the son of al-Husayn, the son of Imam Ali, and that when he is born, you call him As-Sadiq. So he received the title, his title, which is the honest, the trustworthy, from his grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he was born. And he was truly the honest, the trustworthy. Imam Malik says, Imam Malik was enchanted by his teacher, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Imam Malik said, ما رأت عين ولا سمعت أذن ولا خطر على قلب بشر أفضل من جعفر بن محمد الصادق علما وفقها وإيمانا وورعا. No eyes could see, no ear could hear, no mind can think of a person more integrated and more honest and more knowledgeable and more pious than Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. This is a testimony by a renowned scholar, Imam Malik. Because the student knows, can value his teacher. The student is the closest person to the teacher. So when he studies under him, he evaluates him. He knows his grade and his value and his worth and his influence. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, when he was born during the time of Bani Umayyah. Unfortunately, Bani Umayyah, the Umayyad dynasty, they did not represent the true Islam. Though they occupied power and the office in the name of Islam, in the name of the Prophet, they called themselves successors to the Prophet, but they were tyrant. They were power thirsty. Their objective was not to serve Islam. Their objective was to serve themselves. Just like some of the tyrants in the Muslim world today. They occupy the seat to serve themselves. Not the ummah, not the nation, not the community, not religion. We had the same story. And they were tyrants. They were dictators. They were more concerned about their welfare, about their palaces and mansions and drinks and women than Islam itself. And therefore, people were unhappy with them. And when people voiced their concern, the answer of the caliph at that time was to crush those people, to silence them. There were no freedom of expression, no freedom of speech. And therefore, they used the sword as an answer to the demands of their community and the nation. They would use the sword. They will use persecution, jail, imprisonment, execution. They killed many innocent people. That dynasty and that empire was based on corruption. So Imam al-Sadiq, when he was born, he met this dynasty and he lived through the time, the reign of the last 10 caliphs in Bani Umayyah, in Umayyad dynasty, the last 10 caliphs. And then Umayyad dynasty collapsed. The Abbasite came to power. The Abbasite came to power convincing people that the Umayyah has to go. We come to serve Islam, to serve the Prophet and his family. So they came to power in the name of Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. But unfortunately, once they grabbed power, they started persecuting the family of the Prophet. As a result of that, the first Imam that died under the Abbasid rule was this Imam, the sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. He was killed by poison by the second Abbasid caliph, the first Abbasid caliph who led the revolution against Bani Umayyah in year 132. Bani Umayyah, they ruled the Muslim countries from the time of the death of Imam Ali in Kufa, in Iraq, in year 40 Hijri. From 40 Hijri until 132 Hijri. How many years? Almost 90 years. They ruled the Ummah, the community, with iron fist, with dictatorship, until people, they rose against them. And their regime collapsed in 132. The Abbasid came to power. The first caliph was Abu al-Abbas al-Saffah. The second caliph was his brother al-Mansur al-Abbasi. Mansur. Mansur was the one who built the city of Baghdad, the current Baghdad. Yes, they would build buildings, towers, but again there was corruption. There was starvation. Some tyrants, they become concerned with the physical structure of their ummah, not the spiritual or the moral. So they build good infrastructure, good roads, good buildings, but when it comes to the community is weak. You can't build strong ummah, strong community, strong country with only towers. Towers are buildings, they do nothing. You have to build the people, the spirit of the people, the character of the people. So the Abbasid, though they came to power in the name of supporting and defending the family of the Prophet, but when they grabbed power, they did even worse than their predecessors, Bani Umayyah. Whoever belongs to the family of the Prophet would be persecuted and put in jail and sometimes killed. And they used to intimidate people. You know how it would intimidate them? They build the walls, they bring people alive, they throw them in the ditch, and then they build a wall. While they are still alive, screaming, they build the wall on their bodies. This is how they intimidated people. So people would be afraid of them, and they would obey them. Unfortunately, democracy was missing. under Bani Umayyah and Bani al-Abbas, democracy was missing. You can read the history, you can investigate. I want you to investigate and read. How many of you know about 1,000 nights and night and one night? You know? These things, they happened in Baghdad. The caliph would enjoy himself in his mansion, in his palace. There are dancers, belly dancers, you know, alcohol, singers, singing and dancing, while many people were in the prison. They could not speak. They could not open their mouth. If they say no to the regime, they end up in jail. It's not a good history. We have to read the history of Islam carefully. Islam is a good religion, but those many of those who represented Islam were not good people. They were corrupt. So Imam al-Sadiq lived through the reign of the last 10 caliphs of Bani Umayyah and the first two caliphs of Bani al-Abbas. And that was the peak of oppression and injustice against the community. The community in general and the followers of Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet and his family in particular. They would chase them anywhere. Whatever they know, someone supporting the Prophet and the family, they go after him, after her. They put them in jail. They harass them. But Imam al-Sadiq, because he's the grandson of the Prophet, and because he's not afraid of death, because he knows if he dies, he's going to go to a better place. People who are virtuous and pious, they are not afraid of death. They know we are guests in this life. We are not going to live forever. I just told you, yesterday we buried 3 people. Every day there is a burial. What does that mean? It means we are not going to stay here. Today we bury this person, tomorrow they're going to bury us. Believe me, there is no escape of death. There is no escape from death. Death will come. God says in the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيِّدٍ. Wherever you live, even if you live in secure towers, death will come after you. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. God says, O Muhammad, you're going to die, and if you're going to die, no one is going to survive. All of them are going to die. So we are put here for a reason. We are in this life for a reason, and that reason is to be tested. We are not here to live forever. Anytime death could come, believe me. Anytime. We have to be prepared. And the best way to be prepared is to stand with the truth and justice, not with falsehood. Falsehood takes you into the wrong direction. You're going to regret that. God says, this the verse that I started my lecture in the beginning. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Oh, who you believe. Ittaqullah. Be conscious of God. And wakunu ma'a as-sadiqin. If you want to be successful, be with those who speak the truth. Don't be with liars. Don't be with those who cheat on you and misinform you or disinform you. Don't. Don't waste your life with them. كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with the honest and the truthful. They will take you to the right path, to the right of real happiness. Real happiness. To the path of God. And those who are honest is the Prophet, Prophet Muhammad and his family. The 12 Imams. Because they did not look at the dunya. The Prophet, you know, one day the Prophet said to his daughter Fatima. He loved Fatima a lot. He said to her, Ya Fatima, Inna ala Muhammad lam yukhlaqu lid-dunya, innahum khuliqu lil-akhirah. Me and my family were not designed to be enchanted with this dunya, with this life, lower life, small life. We have been designed to make it successfully to the hereafter. مَا لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَالدُّنْيَا. They have no business with the dunya. We are here just to pass, not to stay. Not to accumulate. Not to steal, not to plunder. Not to seize power. They were not power thirsty. They were not power thirsty. The only reason they were here is to educate people and guide people and tell them the truth. And this is why they paid heavy price for being outspoken, courageous, brave, honest. They paid heavy price. All of them were murdered. No member of the school of the family of the Prophet died on deathbed. None of them. They were murdered, either by poison or by sword. مَا مِنَّا إِلَّا مَقْتُولٌ أَوْ مَسْمُونَ. And one of them is this sixth imam. He was poisoned. Poisoned by the second Abbasite caliph, Mansur al-Abbasi. Because Mansur al-Abbasi did not want someone to tell him the truth. You know what is the tyrant afraid of? The tyrant, if someone is tyrant, a president who is tyrant, a sultan, a king, he's afraid of people coming and telling him the truth. He's very afraid when people tell him what you did, what you said is wrong. He gets upset. He gets mad. This is the character of a tyrant, because he's arrogant. But if people are not arrogant and they do something wrong and you tell them you did something wrong, they would not be mad. Actually, they would come and thank you. They say, thank you for telling me. Thank you for advising me. So Mansur al-Abbasi, he was mad at the imam because the imam always said to him, what you are doing is not right. Killing people is not good. Starving people is not good. Being a dictator is not good. Misleading people is not good. So he was unhappy with the imam. You know, Imam lived in Medina. Medina, the capital of Islam, first capital of Islam. Imam was born in the city of Medina, Imam al-Sadiq, in year 83 Hijri, and he was poisoned and killed 70 years later in 148 Hijri. And he's buried in Medina, Maqbaratul Baqi, not far from the grave of his grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Mansur al-Abbasi, he was the caliph of the Muslim Ummah, so-called caliph, in Baghdad. There is a distance between Baghdad and Medina. So he went to Hajj, to perform Hajj, with his entourage. And all the scholars in Medina, when they knew the caliph is there, they must go and pay tribute to him. They must go and kiss up. Tell him, wow, great leader is here. What a great leader you are. You are our mentor. You are our savior. You are our this. They have to kiss up, you know. So all the scholars, they went and they praised the caliph in his palace in Medina. Except one person did not go. And that was Imam al-Sadiq. He didn't go. Because Imam al-Sadiq was not in need to the caliph. Imam al-Sadiq was free. You know who becomes successful in this life? Those who are free. Those who do not fear people. The only one that they fear is God. The day you fear only God, you become successful. But if you start fearing people, you are not going to speak the truth. If you want to make people happy, you are not going to be successful. But if you try to make God happy, you will be successful. So Imam did not go. So the caliph was arrogant. And to be honest with you, the caliph did not care about other scholars. All what he cared about is the Imam al-Sadiq to come and visit him. Because others were seekers of dunya. They were not seekers of the hereafter, akhirah. So he said to his, you know, security apparatus, go and bring him to me. So they came and they arrested the imam, they brought him. So he said to him, Ya Ja'far, O Ja'far, لِمَ لَا تَخْشَانَا كَمَا يَخْشَانَ النَّاسِ. What happened? Why don't you come and visit me just like others when they come and visit me? You know what the Imam said to him? Powerful statement. You must learn this statement. When you speak to a tyrant, you must learn this. The Imam said to him, You don't have something of the Akhirah, so I come and learn it from you. You don't have good equality. I go to a person who has good equality to inspire me, to teach me. You don't have these good qualities. So you don't have something of the Akhirah, the hereafter, so I can come and get it from you. Neither I have something of the dunya, business or company or corporation, that I'm afraid about it. I want to protect it from the regime. I have nothing. I'm penniless. You know, no property, no land, no money. Why should I be worried about the government? Why should I be worried about the IRS if I have no money? Those who have money, they are worried about the IRS. Those who are penniless, they don't care about the IRS. So Imam said to him, neither you have something of the Akhirah, so I can seek from you and learn, nor I have something of the dunya that I have to be worried about it. Mansur was very smart, intelligent. He said, no, don't get me wrong. I know I don't have anything of the Akhirah and neither you have anything about the dunya. تَصْحَبَنَا لِتَنْصَحَنَا. Come to my session at least to advise me. I need someone to advise me. Imam al-Sadiq said to him, مَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ لَا يَنْصَحُكَ وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الدُّنْيَا لَا يَصْحَبُكَ. مَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ لَا يَصْحَبُكَ وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الدُّنْيَا لَا يَنْصَحُكَ. If someone is seeking the Akhirah, is not going to be with you. He's not going to be your friend. Because you have two different directions. And God says in the Quran, in our book, in this book, what does He say? لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. They are not equal. People of heaven are not equal with people of fire. They have two different directions, two different agendas, two different behaviors, two different ways. They can't get together. So Imam said to him, someone who seeks the Akhirah is not going to accompany you, be your friend. He would not come to your session. And someone who seeks this dunya is not going to be honest with you. Because he wants you to be a tyrant. He doesn't want you to be good. The Imam was a great mentor and a great teacher. And since I cannot cover even a small part about his life, I'm going to speak. This is part one. Part two is going to be tomorrow at the Friday prayers. Of how the Imam was not just a teacher. Imam used to go to the market, to the neighborhoods, to help people, to reach out to them, to serve them, to protect them. In the evening, people go to their beds, to their families, to their wives, to their kids. Imam would stand in the middle of the night. He would grab a bag on his shoulder full of food. And he will tour the city of Medina. Wherever there is an orphan, a widow, a poor family, he would knock at their door. Many of them did not even recognize him. He would cover his face. He would cover his face. Imam says, if you want to do something good, you have to do it in three ways. Let me read it for you. لا يتم المعروف. Goodness cannot be completed unless you do it in three ways. Three ways. When you want to do something good, remember these three steps. Number one, بتعجيله. Do it fast. Expedite it. If you want to help a family, don't say next week. Next week is too long. Maybe death would not allow you. Neither say tomorrow morning. Do it tonight. Whenever you see someone deserving, don't say yes. Whenever I get my money, my salary, whenever I have free time, don't say free time. You are not going to have free time. Do it immediately. تعجيله. تعجيل means to expedite. Because this is an opportunity. God wants to credit you. God wants to honor you. So don't miss this honor. Don't put it off and say, I'll do it next week and next month and next year. Do it now. Right now. Right now. If you need to give medicine to someone, food, shelter, even guidance, sometimes the goodness, not necessarily to be dollars and euros, sometimes guidance, do it now. If you want to visit someone sick in the hospital, don't say in the weekend. Do it now. Bring him joy. Today I visited someone in the hospital, which I should have done long time ago, with two friends. When he saw us coming into his room, he was crying. He said, I'm alone here, I'm lonely. You brought me joy. You know how many people are neglected, abandoned? Nobody thinks about them, they have no families. You have to be the family. You have to be the friend. God says to his people on the day of judgment, God says to the believers on the day of judgment, he says, oh believer, why didn't you visit me? The believer says, you have no house. Where can I find you? You know, you have no specific address. Where do you want me to visit you? God would say to him, هَلَّا زُرْتَ عَبْدِيَ الْمَرِيضَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَتَجِدُنِي عِنْدَهِ. In this life, why didn't you go and visit my servant, true servant, who was sick at home, at the hospital? Once you go and visit him or her, you will find me sitting there. فَتَجِدُنِي عِنْدَهِ. It's a metaphor. God does not have a specific seat or chair or bed. God is everywhere. But God is going to be more, His presence is going to be more with those who are neglected by us. We neglect them, but God does not neglect them. So God is there. When we don't care about them, God is there. But God wants us to learn and to get credit of this, to be more human, to be more humble. بِتَعْجِيلِهِ, Imam says. The second, وَتَصْغِيرِهِ, anything you give, anything, don't say, I gave so much. Whatever we give is so little, believe me. Dua al-Sabah, we read this dua after the Fajr prayers, morning prayers. Very beautiful, has very beautiful meanings. In one of them, when you prostrate, when you put the last bit of the dua, the last section, you put your head on the ground, and what do you say? إلهي قلبي محجوب ونفسي معيوب وعقلي مغلوب وهواي غالب وطاعتي قليل وطاعتي قليل. Everything I'm doing for you is little. It's not enough. ومعصيتي كثير. My disobedience is a lot, but my obedience is little, too little. So anything you do not praise yourself. Yes, you may feel good about it. When you save someone, you must feel good about it. But don't say, wow, this is the biggest achievement. Never say that. It's too little, believe me. There are always others who give more than what you do. Always look at what you give with a humble eyes. Humble. And say, I should give more, even more than this. I even should help more. I should serve more. I should teach more. Say more. So this is two. Expedite and don't look at it as being big. And the third one, بتعجيله وتصغيره, and this is very important, وستره, to conceal it. Don't show off. Because you are not doing it for people, you are doing it for God. And you only expect the reward and the credit from God. So why do you want to announce it? Don't announce. Sometimes Satan comes to me and says, hey Mustafa, you gave 50 bucks, everybody in the mosque should know about it. This is Satan, believe me. Don't be deceived by him. Tell him, shut up. Don't teach me. I don't want to be arrogant. I'm giving for the sake of God, not for the sake of people who praise me. Imam al-Sadiq will put the bag of food, and people did not know him. When did they know that he was Imam al-Sadiq? The day he died, nobody was there to give them food. They realized, oh, the man who has been giving us all these years, this is Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, who is buried today. Same thing with his grandfather, Imam Zain al-Abidin. Same thing, exactly. The day he died, many families, when they missed him that night, they realized, wow, for all these years, this man would come, this is Imam Zain al-Abidin. And we didn't know until he's buried. We learn from those imams. Happiness does not come from the sky and falls on you. Neither misfortune. You create happiness or misfortune for yourself by following the right people. And amongst the rightest people, the most honest is this imam, Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. His grandfather, our noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the one who chose this title for him, As-Sadiq. As-Sadiq, the truthful, the honest. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير. Tomorrow inshallah we have the Friday prayers beginning at 1 p.m. inshallah. And I think the youth also, yes, tomorrow Friday, no, I saw the flyer today. August 4th. Okay, so not tomorrow then. Tomorrow we have the Friday prayers and we are very happy. Hajj Ahmed, when does the Sunday school begin?
Second week of September.
And the Saturday school? Same. So please, if you have kids from ages 5 to 15, either register them in the Saturday or the Sunday school. In the Saturday school, they teach Islam plus Farsi literature. In the Sunday school, they teach Islam and Quran and Arabic literature. So please bring them here, they learn. When you teach them, when you educate them, most likely they are going to be safe when they learn, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ahli baytihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.